So what I want to talk to you guys this morning about, I'm going to go to James 1. I'm going to read 21 through 22. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. And I'm going to tell you, we received the implanted word last weekend. That was the implanted word. It says, which is able to save your souls. And I'll concentrate on verse 22. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. That is so important, to be a doer and not a hearer. Let's just say hearers is just listening without practicing what you have heard. So for me, I grew up with a mom and a dad who played basketball. My mom and my dad, as a small child, taught me the rules. They taught me how to dribble the ball. They taught me how to shoot the ball. But you know what? I was never going to be any good at it if I didn't pick the ball up for myself and practice it. And I'm not talking works here. I'm talking about when you hear something in the Word, it so becomes a part of you that you can't help but do it. So I'm saying that's what we take from last weekend, the things that we have heard, and you go out and you just do it, because you're never going to get good unless you do. But anyway, so I'm going to end with Romans 2, and I'm going to read, well, I'm going to kind of paraphrase 12 and 13, but I want to concentrate more. Actually, I'm going to skip 12. I'm going to go straight to 13. And I'm going to say this. It says, you were justified when you kept the law. That's the old covenant. You became justified when you kept the law. But now, as children of God and believers, you start off with the justification. Amen. Therefore, you're able to do the word. Amen. All right. It enables you.
Amen. 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 You're already righteous. You're already the new creation. You already now have within you the empowerment to do what God's gifted you and called you to do. You're not trying to do to become. You are, and so you get to do. Amen. So last week, Rob Rufus brought a powerful message to the end of our conference last Sunday about heroes and legacy. And what that means, that really we don't come to church, we don't look to the word just for ourselves. It's not a lot of times we have a very self-centered culture. By the way, I want to give y'all permission to do something. It's okay to make a little noise now during service. We need to get a little free around here, and it's, you know, you don't have to be all nice and quiet. I mean, you know, Jeff, I wish you'd make a little noise every now and then instead of just sitting there still. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to shout. We are a free people. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. I mean, if we're going to be expressions of the joy of the Lord, let's inform our face, our vocal cords, and let's have fun when we come to church. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That's all right. Thank you, Mitch. So that's all right. So that's all right. Come on. All right. So we're, yeah, I'm just excited. What was I saying before that? I'm just excited. No, grow and go. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you, Father. So good, so good. Ephesians chapter 2, verse... I tell you what, let's go to verse 7, because I love this verse. Let's make sure that everything stays in context, and let's make sure that you understand what is being, or what the Lord is saying to you and to us as a church body, but also in the context of who He's created us to be and in the context of grace. Because as we start, Jennifer started talking about the importance of doing what the Word says in James chapter 1. And we may look at that again. But as we talk about these things, we've got to make sure that we don't move to a works mentality that this is now what is required of me. I've got to do this to maintain my salvation, to maintain my relationship with God, to maintain my value, to maintain my worth. In other words, as I go through these things, I'm about to read New Testament, New Covenant scriptures to you concerning what we were created for. But we operate out of the empowerment of knowing that we were created for this, and this is who we are, and not that this is what we have to do to become. Amen. Okay? So that's why I want to give this context here, because you're going to sense a shift, and I'm going to talk about that shift, about some of the things that I'm going to talk to you about and the way that we're going. By the way, the name of this series, if I didn't already say it, You Got the Goods. You got the goods. Say, I got the goods. See, that's good Alabama English. You got the goods. All right. Now, as we talk about these things, we got to make sure that we operate out of who God created us to be and let His empowerment on the inside of us in Christ live through us. So look at this. Verse 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This is the heart of the Father, that in the ages, that it's going to take ages to unfold His love, to unfold His grace, to reveal His kindness towards us. And He is excited about unfolding that to you personally and to reveal to you. He gets to reveal to you how much He loves you. And that gives the Father great pleasure when you say, Father, I am ready. Reveal on. Just have a personal relationship. Show me how much You love me. You give the Father great pleasure when you position yourself to say, God, I am ready to let You consume my life with who You are, to consume me with Your love, to consume me with what You've called me to do.
Mm. That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 8. For by grace you are saved. Never forget that. For by grace you are saved. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God. The Father has given you an amazing gift of salvation that says that whatever you were doing before, that you couldn't earn adoption into His family. And so He simply offered it to you as a free gift and said, come as you are.
Yes.
Come as you are. And I will make you who I have created you to be.
Amen.
See, you're not coming as you are and then have to become something else.
That's right.
You come as you are, and now the Father creates a new nature in you.
That's good.
Not of works. Get a hold of this. Not of works. Verse 9. This is so important. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's not a single person that is here that can say, it's because of how I live, it's because of what I've done, I'm here because God looked on me and said, this guy is awesome and he's going to do my word, and so I'm going to put him in a place that I'm not putting anybody else. I can't take credit for anything. And that's the way God wants it. And in your life, don't take credit for what God is doing in your life. You know, we've even allowed ourselves to let this vernacular or this phrasing to work into sometimes our Pentecostal charismatic churches of this is what my faith produced. I'm going to... Here's what the Lord told me. Let me just lay it down for you. I've been trying to work up to this. I'm just going to tell it to you. Okay? I have for the last 7 years, listen to me, church. I have for the last 7 years, I have really tried to, as we've journeyed and y'all have journeyed with us and you've seen the transformation in our lives and you've seen what we've experienced with God, and it's been my heart's desire to say, come into this same place. Come into what we're experiencing. This is the heart of the Father saying, come, eat, dine, come into this place. This is how you, and that's what I finished with last time, living the changed life. I want you to come into this place where you're living the changed life. But I'm done with that. There comes a point that I have to stop talking to you as children and say and stop looking at you as you've got to come from where you are to this place. Today that changes. Today I am now talking to you as mature children of God that you are in this place. You have the goods. And so we are moving on to maturity from glory to glory to glory by the Spirit of God. And so I'm going to just start talking to you like God sees you. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that every message is going to just be at a mature level so that newcomers, because now there's new people coming in, and they've got to receive this invitation to come into who God's called them to be. And so there's still that teaching. So I've got to hear from God in how to speak to you as people that have this foundation of grace. Turn with me. Well, hold here. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Again, this morning's an introduction. I'm trying to describe to you the shift. Okay? Because I want you to understand how I'm going to communicate with you, but I also want you to start coming to this place ready for action. I want you to come to this place saying, I've already got it. I've got the goods. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. I'm not trying to obtain. I'm not trying to achieve. I'm not trying. One day I'm going to get there. No. You start. I've been saying you start from a place of victory. You start from a place of sonship. You start from a place of recognizing who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Now, once you have that understanding and once you walk through these doors and you sit down and you say, I'm part of the body. I'm ready for action. Let's go with this. Okay, so now our church services aren't about what's in it for me. What's in it for me? Now, we're going to talk about things. We're going to always talk about things. How can you have a better marriage? But we start from the place that Jesus is in you, the husband. I mean, he's teaching you how to have a better marriage. So we start from a more mature standpoint. Okay, most churches don't operate this way. Most churches are filled with newborns, babies that never grow past, they never even hardly get into adolescence. They may get in there a little bit because you hear all the whining, the complaining, the backbiting, the gossip and stuff like that, but they get stuck there. It's not what we're called to, saints. Look at this. In Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12. For when, look, I mean, Paul is talking to a mature church. People that have been in the gospel. For when, for the time that you should be teachers. He said, there comes a moment. See, there's growth in the kingdom of God. There's growth in your life. Salvation And that new creation and that born again experience, that's the beginning. An understanding in the revelation of grace, that's the beginning. But we are always to continue to grow in what God has for us. And I don't care how old you are. Your season of ministry is not over. I think one of the worst things that a church can do is cast aside people that are older in age. What's the right word, Wendy?
Mature.
More mature in age. I got corrected one day on that. And to say, well, you know, they don't have the energy, or they don't have this, or they don't have that, or they just, you know, their ideas are just old, you know, or, you know, that's just, it's not the way we do things today, or whatever. And just cast them aside, and their wisdom aside, and their experience aside, as if they have nothing to offer. That is not the way in the gospel. There needs to come an honoring back into the church. And a recognition that there is a calling and there is a gifting that is in those that are more mature. If anything, they're the ones that should be teachers and training. And that's what even Paul told Timothy. Have the mature women to train the younger women. And there was a place in the family. There's a place for fathers and grandfathers and mothers and grandmothers. And there's a place. And the younger generation needs to learn what honor is and to receive from that wisdom.
Amen.
But there's also a maturity that happens in us as a believer. When for the time, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again what is the first principles of the oracles of God. It's not the way it should be. We shouldn't be coming to a place that we say, okay, guys, we got to go through foundations again because you ain't got it. No, we're supposed to be moving from glory to glory. But if we see ourselves as always at a foundational level, if we see ourselves as maybe not quite having understood it yet, not having got it yet, if we as leadership see the church at this level, we'll never move. So, I'm going to be spurring you on, encouraging you. Man, it's going to be awesome. He says, and you've become such as you have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now, we understand that there are those that are newborns in the body of Christ that they need milk. And we will provide that for them. And we will provide ways for people to be discipled into the foundations of grace and the foundations of what it means to live out of this new creation. And we'll continue. So, 9 o'clock Sunday morning class is just one area that we do that with. Living out of the Spirit's foundational truth for how you should live every day. So we're going to provide ways of discipleship. We're not leaving anybody behind. But he says strong meat. Let's see. He says, you have need of milk and you can't handle strong meat. For everyone, here it is, everyone that uses milk, everyone that drinks milk, everyone that is staying with foundational truth is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a baby. Unskillful. Unskillful. Jennifer talked about learning to play basketball. She's really good. No, she can still play. But there's a skill. Michael Jordan didn't just one day decide, oh, I'm the best basketball player that there is. It wasn't natural. Now he's athletic, but he had to work on his skill. LeBron James had to work on his skill. Kobe Bryant had to work and played hours and hours and hours and hours to become the best. And there's an inward knowledge of what basketball is. There's an inward knowledge of the correct form to shoot. There's an inward knowledge of all of that. But it took actually getting on the court, picking up the ball. And let me just say it this way. Because I can use my own example. I played basketball. And guys, I was awesome by myself. I was a legend in my own mind. I get out there in front of the goal, and I'd practice those free throws, and I'd practice my form and all of that, and I was good. But put me in a group, put me on a team, put me where there was some contact with other players, and all of a sudden, my form went out the window. I missed shots. I was a different person on the court than I was by myself. And can I say that being a Christian, being part of a church body, means coming together as a group, coming together as a team? You may be a legend in your own mind regarding your own spirituality, but that won't be skillful and worked out until you are part of a body. All three of those basketball players, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, would have never developed the skill that they needed just being out there by themselves. They had to play with people. They had to play against people. Iron sharpens iron. Strong meat, verse 14, belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have exercised or have their senses, this flesh, your soul area, your mind, your will, your emotions. See, here's the truth. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is joined to Jesus. Your spirit now is a new, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are a born again person. The Bible says you are born again of incorruptible seed. You live, you abide forever, and you've been vacuum packed. Ephesians 1 says that you have been sealed with the Spirit of promise. Your spirit, man, has been vacuum packed, sealed. Ain't nothing can get in. That's like taking, I don't know if it was somebody during the Grace Conference or if I heard it somewhere else, but it's like somebody taking water, putting it in a Ziploc bag and sealing it up, and then dropping that into a dirty toilet. And so you drop it, and just think about the dirtiest toilet that you've ever created. And you may, and so what happens? You take that out, and you clean the outside. What's happened to the water that was sealed on the inside? Still just as perfect, still just as pure, still just as clean, because it was sealed. It wasn't affected by the dirty toilet. Well, your spirit, man, can't be affected by what's going on out here. Your spirit, man, because the Bible says he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. See? And so if you're joined to the Lord in that way, that means for your spirit to get contaminated, Jesus' spirit would have to get contaminated. Because there's no division between you. See? All right? But my soul, my emotions. How many of you know people can make you mad? How many of you know that the day you got saved wasn't the day you became Mr. Nice Guy? That you got just as ticked off at people on the road as you did before you got saved? That your flesh still has to deal with stuff in this natural world. And so the fact of the matter is we want what is true about our new created spirit to be manifested in our daily lives and to be manifested into my soul realm and to be manifested. Yeah, you can go ahead and run, Jeff. Just go, man. There he goes. He's already got his shoes off, so he might as well go. And you want it manifested into your body. You know, that's why Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says that if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, let's go ahead and pull that up. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. All right, so you got the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. He is so good. This is so awesome. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, give life to, make alive your mortal fleshly bodies by the Spirit that dwells in you. You know, it is awesome to come up and to get people to pray for you. The Bible says, call for the elders of the church if you're sick. And so there is power in agreement and there is power in prayer. But you got to know that on the inside of you right now is the Spirit of the living God, and that the life that God's perfect will for you is for you to rely on the Spirit that is on the inside of you and see Him giving life to every area of your body. That God wants to heal you from the inside out, not from the outside in. He's on the inside. Jesus had to lay hands on everybody because Jesus went on the inside of everybody. But now He is on the inside of you, and so He can lay hands on you from the inside out. Different perspective, different understanding. And we've created kind of a dependent church culture. Goes to this meeting, go to this meeting, go to this evangelist, go to this healer, go to this, go to this, go to this. Lay hands on me, lay hands on me, lay hands on me. Please, 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 please. That's a child mindset. It's a child mindset. Because you have to recognize you are actually in connection with the living God Himself on the inside of you. And so healing comes from the inside out. Why do I need to go to a particular anointed man? I just kicked your water, by the way. A particular anointed man of God. Thank God for that. When I can recognize and step into the fact that I am connected and joined together with the source of all life. With the source of all life on the inside of me. Now, when I start stepping into that reality, when I start thinking that way, when I start living out of that understanding, see, now what happens is I start stepping into a different place in my own life and in my own relationship with God. The greatest growth in my life has been when God has asked me to do something that I'm not comfortable doing. The greatest growth in my life is when I was willing to step out of my boat of comfort, where everybody else is, and saying, Jesus, I want to be out there on the water where you are. And to do something that is impossible in the natural. In March of 2014, the Spirit of God put on my heart to come and pray. And let me just say, prayer. Prayer is awesome. But yesterday, guys, thank you so much that the ones that were able to come, and I understand for you they already had commitments. We had over 50 people here for prayer yesterday morning at 9 o'clock. Come on. That's awesome. That's awesome. And there were so many words that came forth. I'm telling you, you may be of the mindset that, you know what, prayer's not my thing. Well, let me just tell you, that was my mindset. Can I encourage you that prayer wasn't my thing? I mean, and 4 years ago when God said, Mark, I want you to go to the church and pray, I told Jennifer, I'm going to tell my wife, y'all pray for me. I told Jennifer, I said, it's because it's about 12 o'clock or so, 1 o'clock. And I said, I think the Lord's put on my heart, we need to go to church and pray. I feel like we got to do that, which we never did. And Jennifer said, can we go to lunch first? I'm really hungry right now. And I said, it was so strong. I said, no, we got to go pray. We're going to go pray first. And so we did. And during that time, God said, Mark, you're playing it too safe. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm playing it too safe? This was literally the week after Mary Frances Varillo had first come to our church. This was the following Saturday, and she had come and prophesied to people, and it was just, I mean, and so, and that was new for our church. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm playing it too safe? I just had this lady prophet come into the church, and, you know, I thought that was a pretty bold move. He said, you've been talking. I did, honestly, Derek. I mean, that was a big deal for me. And so he said, you talk about the gifts of the Spirit. He said, but a pastor has to lead by example. Huh. See, I was really comfortable saying, guys, begin to start operating in the gifts of the Spirit. God has called us to do it because that's in the Word. Y'all just do it. What y'all didn't know, I was inside saying, but ain't no way I'm going to do it. Inside, I was like, because what if I step out and give a word and it's wrong? What if I step out and I say something and it doesn't come to pass? What if? No. See. And so, what... I said, yes, Lord. That was the day that I changed. That was the day that I yielded everything to God. That was the day, March 2014, that I said, I'm not going to worry about what people think because you know I'm going to mess up. And you know, I didn't want a pastor in the first place. So, you know, so I'm still arguing with God. I said, but God, today I yield it all to you. Best decision I ever made. It's the best decision I ever made to say yes to God, to step out on just trusting Him. Because let me tell you what happened over the next 3 months in stepping out. I began to know the voice of my Heavenly Father. That was so, it is so clear to me now. I am so confident in who He is. I am so confident when He talks to me. And I had not had that kind of confidence any time. And as much as we believe the Word of God, what am I saying? I could have still been today still talking about the gifts of the Spirit. This is what the Word says. This is the way you do it. All of those kinds of things. But until I was willing to step out and to, by reason of use, exercise my senses, back to Hebrews chapter 5, exercise. See, you've got to take the knowledge of your salvation, which is in your born-again spirit, and you need to allow that to work its way out into the rest of your life. Because otherwise, it's just knowledge, and it's not experience. It's just knowledge, and you never really know it. It's just knowledge, and you don't walk in it. All of the things that I've said is true about you. But until you do what it says right here, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Who, verse 14, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Both good and evil. And so he says in chapter 6, verse 1, so therefore, leaving the principles, the foundations of the doctrine of Christ and His finished work is really talking about, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works. Don't have to talk about you constantly having to repent. And when he says dead works, he's actually not even talking about sin. I get the context. He is not talking about, listen to me, he's not talking about you repenting because you sinned last week. He's talking about repenting and turning from living in a system of having to do works to please God. And where I feel like that the church has been, not necessarily our church, but where church culture has been, is in trying to move people away from living a life of dead works, trying to please God and trying to obtain things from God. And we keep talking about move away from dead works, move away from trying to earn God's favor, and step into a life of faith, and step into a life of faith church, step into a life of faith. Come on. But that's the foundation principle. And so he's saying here, look, he's saying, let's move away from the foundations of repentance, from living a self-righteous in a self-righteous system, and of faith towards God. We can talk about faith. We have a whole movement that's built on faith. But do you understand that what he is saying here is that faith towards God is a foundational principle? It's not a movement. It's not the end all. An understanding of grace and an understanding of faith is simply to position you for activity in the kingdom. And we're always trying to learn. We're always trying to show me more about faith, show me more about grace. Guys, it's time that we grow up. And I'm going to start talking to you from this standpoint. It's time to grow up. And so we're going to act like grown-ups around here, which means there's activity that has to happen. You're called to a purpose. You're called for something. You're called for somebody. So, which means that I'm going to speak some truth to you, see. And so what I said, let me finish this here, just so that you understand. And of the doctrine of baptisms, verse 2, and of laying on of hands, that's an important foundational doctrine. Laying on of hands, healing people, impartation, that's basic foundational truths. And of resurrection of the dead, and that's talking about in heaven, you being the resurrection of the dead, not raising people from the dead physically, although that's part of what is available to believers. But in context, I want you to understand what he's talking about. And of eternal judgment and what it's going to be at the end. That's all foundational truths. But he says we got to move on from that. And he says, this we will do if God permits. Now, we'll have those foundation classes. We'll have those things to help new people come into the understanding of these things. Now, I said this. Let's go back over to, let me start wrapping this up, Ephesians chapter 2. And so, here in Ephesians 2, again, and let's see, where were we? In verse 9. He said, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want you to get a hold of this. Thank you, Father. I want you to get a hold of this, that it's not what you do that deserves recognition. That if you do what you do so that others will see what you do, then you've missed the motivation behind what you do. Amen. Paul was the greatest evangelist that the world has ever known. Paul went into difficult places and established churches to the point that one church in Corinth began to fight against him, or they began to fight amongst themselves. Some of them said, I got saved under Paul's ministry. Oh, I got saved under Apollo's ministry. These were all great men of God. And so there was this division of who, and we see that today. Well, I go to this church. Oh, I go to this church. And our church is bigger than your church. So what? And some people won't even leave their church, and I mean not leave it permanently, but go visit another church when a speaker's in town because, no, I'm part of this church. Come on, you are part of the church, the body of Christ. And let's stop this petty bickering about whose church is this and whose pastor is this and what is this. That's exactly what they were doing in the church of Corinth. And they said, and so Paul said, look, I planted, Apollos watered, but here's the secret. God gave the increase. And so at the end of the day, I can sit there and I can plant a seed in a pot of soil. And Jennifer can come behind me and she can water that seed. And together we can take care of that seed. But at the end of the day, we didn't cause that seed to grow.
That's right. That's right.
We helped it, but there was something in its DNA at the root of it called the Word of God. And God Himself is responsible for creation and responsible for all of that. So I can't take credit for it. I can be a co-laborer with God, and that is an awesome responsibility. So Paul said this, so I'm nothing, Apollos is nothing, God is everything.
Amen.
And so we kind of fell into this trap of saying, look at what my faith did. Look at my faith's gonna, my faith, I'm gonna believe, I will do, and so most of our language is I, so that I can take credit for it. And here it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if there's something that I endeavor to do more and more and more, is to just make sure God gets all the glory. Amen. For what happens in our lives, for what happens in this church, that we recognize that it's Him. And without Him, we wouldn't be here. Without Him, we wouldn't have the calling to lead. Without Him, we wouldn't have the wisdom to lead. Without Him, we wouldn't know what to do. Without Him, we would be messed up. Every one of us would say that. And that salvation and that deliverance isn't based on me. It is based on Jesus and what He did and Him living His life through me. You can be dealing with problems today. You can be messed up today and saying, God, how am I going to get out of this? And as soon as you yield to God and say, God, I thank You that You've delivered me. And you move to a place of faith in Him and knowing and trusting Him. I mean, I'm telling you what, you're taking the pressure off yourself. You're putting it on God and you're letting Him work in your life. Amen. So, we finally get to my opening scripture. For we are, verse 10, here's the deal. This is you. Say, this is me.
This is me.
Okay. I want you, when you walk into this church, I don't care if you've been here 1 week, 5 weeks, 8 weeks, or 8 years. When you walk into this place, this is you. Here, just read it with me. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. You are His workmanship. I said you are His workmanship.
Amen.
He's not working on you. We have this mentality down in church. God's still working on me. God's still working on me. God's still working on me. You see, that is the enemy robbing you of your identity and keeping you paralyzed from doing anything in your life because you see yourself as somebody that needs to be worked on, not somebody that has already been worked.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
God is not working on you. God is working through you.
That's right.
You are His workmanship, and the moment that you were born again. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, that you are complete in Him. You don't have a partial Jesus on the inside of you. You don't have a little Jesus on the inside of you. You have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the all-powerful Creator of the universe right there on the inside of you. You are His workmanship. Created, pull that back up. Created, let's go back to Ephesians 2:10 again. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You're created in Him. In Him. You're created in Him. The moment I can't. There is so much in that word "in," in Christ. We're going to get to that before the end of the year. But there's so much in that that we so often see ourselves apart from Him. And that Christ is in heaven and we're here and Jesus, please heal me. And Jesus, please do this. And we have got to renew our mind to the fact that we are in Him right now. You are created in Him. You're His workmanship and you were created unto good works. You're created for something. You're created to demonstrate Him. You're created to express Him. You're created to influence others, that people will know that you're the children of your Father because of the good works that they see from you. So this church is going to step into this identity of, if I'm created for good works, then we're going to do them. We're not doing them because it's works. We're not doing them because we have to earn God's favor. We're doing them because that's who we are. And Jesus said, "He that believes on me, the works that I do, will he do also, and greater works, because I go to the Father." Because what happens is now he gets to do them through you. And he says, God has ordained, declared, decreed, predestined us to walk in them. So I'm saying, answer the call. Come into these doors recognizing you are already His workmanship. And there'll be words that are spoken and there'll be things that are said that you'll recognize, I need to apply that to my life. Here's another area, and this is what Jennifer and I do. Yes, 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 Lord, I'll do that. He will not leave me alone from this. I'm trying to close because it's 11:30, but I'm done with trying to just create artificial time limits. If God says do something, we better yield to Him, okay? So just quickly, this is going to kind of bend the nail on the back of the board for this, for you. Turn with me over to James chapter 4. In James chapter 4. And so in context, and I'm not going to take the time to read it, but in context, James is dealing with a church that's in strife with each other, that's trying to compare themselves amongst themselves, that there is envying, there's strife, there's wars, there's fightings. They honor wealthy people over poor people. They say to the wealthy people, hey, I want you to sit here on the front row. To the poor people, I want you to sit in the back. You know, and unfortunately, that happens all too often in the churches today. Okay? Is it okay for me just be bold and just call it like it is and just say it? Because those things need to change. That's an immature church. And that's something that we have never done and something that we will never do. Every person in the sight of God is just as valuable. There is no rich or poor. There is no... I mean, none of that matters when it comes to the kingdom. Amen. If you're wealthy, thank God for it. But make sure that you're using that wealth for the kingdom. Amen. Bottom line, it's all about us working together. And some are rich in talent, some are rich in different areas, and you didn't need to know why God has given it to you. So in James chapter 4, so this is the context of what he was talking about. But in verse 6, he says, but he gives more grace. God gives more grace. There is an unending flow of the grace, rivers of grace, from the throne of God. Amen. That's available to you right now. Amen. Everything that you need to accomplish what you need to do in your marriage, in your family, at work, in your church, whatever it is, there is an unending flow of grace that is available to you right now. Amen. And God's desire is for you to experience more grace in your life. Yes. We can talk about the finished work of Christ, but if you're not experiencing more grace, what has happened with Jennifer and I, it's been about more grace. We experience more grace. We're at a different place now than we were 7 years ago. Do you know, I thought this was interesting, Jennifer, we have just started our eighth year of ministry, our eighth year of pastoring. And in the Bible, the number eight refers to new beginnings,
wow.
New seasons, you know, and that's what's happening this year. All right.
Amen.
And so, but we weren't ready for what happened this past week at the conference. We weren't ready last year. We weren't able. See, God was still preparing us, but now He's positioned us and this church so that we can receive more grace.
Amen.
More grace. How much grace can you receive? Now look at this. He gives more grace. Therefore, it says that God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Now, humility isn't going around saying, well, I'm just nothing. Humility isn't saying, well, you know, I'm just an old sinner. I'm just saved by grace, you know, but I'm just screwed up. I'm just a messed up human being. But thank God for His grace, you know, and I'm not worth anything. Don't ever say that about yourself. You are worth the blood of Jesus Christ. The buyer determines the price. And God's the one that purchased you with Jesus' own blood. That is your worth. So this false humility is not what He's saying. He said, God resists the proud. What is pride? I will do it my way. I want to live life my way. I will make decisions my way. These things aren't important. Some of these spiritual things, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do this. You don't have to go to church. You'll still go to heaven. You don't have to give a dime in the offering. You'll still go to heaven. That's a shock to some people. They thought that, you know, but, you know, God's redeemed you from the curse of the law. You don't have to do any of those things. That's the beauty of the new covenant. You don't have to do anything. You're free. But if you don't do those things, then you're not stepping into what God's called you to do, and you'll never be fulfilled. Ooh, I'm going to say, listen to me. You'll be free, but never fulfilled. And Jesus didn't just come to purchase us and to create freedom in our lives and to provide freedom from sin. He came so that we would be fulfilled in our life and that God's purposes and what He's purposed us to do. We were unfulfilled until God called us to pastor. And we didn't want to do it, and we argued with God about it. But I'm going to tell you, when we said yes to God, something happened over the next year or two as we began to pastor and step into that. All of a sudden, that hole that was there, and it wasn't a hole that you know, we didn't have God. It was just this hole of no purpose, this hole of being aimless in life. When we said yes to God, all of a sudden, fulfillment came. I am more fulfilled. Jennifer's like, we had no idea. See, that's the problem. You're trying to figure out what will fulfill you, and only God knows. So pride is saying, I'm going to live life my way. God, I'm going to do it this way, and I just want you to bless what I do. And, you know, He will to a degree because He loves you. But He still knows that that's not going to fulfill you. You think you know? You don't know. God knows. Now, He says He resists the proud, but He gives more grace to the humble. So what is humility? Humility is saying yes to God. Humility is saying, listen, guys, I'm through trying to be real nice about some things, okay? You're just going to have to love me. You're just going to have to forgive me. You're just going to have to understand that I'm coming from a different mindset now, and that there is a responsibility to your freedom, and that what I am teaching you is not something that is to be... I'm not condemning you. I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm not trying... Understand from my standpoint, as the pastor of this church, as the father of this house, if you will, that as I see where people have fallen through the cracks, that people have experienced turmoil in their lives, that I know the root cause of that because they have said, I want to do this my way. And I'm just not going to yield to God every day of my life. I'm okay yielding to Him sometimes on Sunday. And so what I see is a people that they just won't make the decision to walk in the Spirit. God has ordained for us to walk in the Spirit. And so it would be negligent of me to not speak truth to you that I know is going to change your life because it has ours. Yeah. And that you'll experience what God has created you to be. Yeah. So when I spur you on and when I provoke you, the Bible says, let's provoke each other in Hebrews chapter 10 to good works. And when I encourage you, don't take it as, oh, well, pastor's trying to get me to come to church every Sunday and he wants me to come to prayer. You're exactly right. But I don't get to go home and stick a feather in my cap that says, man, we really had a great crowd today. That's not what it's about. God called me to pastor sheep. Amen. And to help you. And that's what I'm here for. Okay? And so I'm going to say things that is designed to encourage you and to exhort you. I'm going to exhort you. Be here on Sunday mornings. Amen. Bring your family on Sundays. Make the decision in your house. We will go to church. We will be a part of the body of Christ. Does God love me if I don't? Yes, He does. But the question is do you want to stay a baby or are you ready to grow into what God has wanted you to be? And if that's the case, then you need to look at your priorities. You need to look at your priorities and your time. What's more important, Johnny's baseball game or thus saith the Lord? Do you want your children? Yes, I'm going to say this as boldly as I know how. Do you want your children growing up? Jennifer's got her mouth covered like, oh my God, what are you doing? Do you want your children growing up in a culture where sports, music, all those things take precedence over the things of God? Is that the example that you want your children to come away with so that by the time they're 15 and 16 and 17 and 18, when they have to go out on their own, they say, you know what? I don't have to go to church. Church is not that important to me, you know, because it wasn't really that important in our house. We didn't talk about those things. You're responsible before God of what you're putting into those children. God gave them to them because He's entrusted you to be an example and to train them up. Now, you've got the goods. You got the goods. Say, I got the goods.
I got the goods.
Okay. So, check your priorities in your finances. Check your priorities in your relationships. There are some relationships that you're just going to need to let go because they are bringing you down and they are causing you to be more interested in the world. Here it says, I'm going to close with this. Thank y'all for amening such a serious time, but this is truth. Amen. This is truth. Wherefore, God resists the proud. Man, I don't want to do anything that God's resisting in my life. I need God on my side. He gives more grace to the humble. Therefore, verse 7, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The answer is submission. The answer is saying yes to God. Yeah, but you don't understand. I like this. You know, this is something I enjoy doing. This is more important to me. I want to go. I'd rather do this than go to church. I'd rather take my family to the lake than go. I'd rather do this. I'd rather go hunting. I'd rather go fishing. This is what I want to do. Okay. What's the example that you're setting? Oh, it'll be fine. I'll just train them at home. You train them by what you do. Your children get more out of what they see. My children have seen, as we came Sunday morning, Wednesday night, we were here every service growing up. And I didn't have to be here every service, but we were here every service growing up because we said, we're going to make the Word first place, even when we didn't feel like coming to church. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times we didn't feel like coming to church, but we said, for the sake of our children, we've got to be there. And they saw the integrity that we lived. We lived this gospel in our homes just like we did here at the church. And because of that, all three of my children are part of church today, serving in church today, answering the call of God. And it was more by, not by what we said, because I'm going to tell you, a lot of times they don't like what we said. Please don't tell me that. Please don't tell me that. Please don't tell me that. Okay, I'll stop telling you that. But we're going to do this. See? Stand with me, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you. Father, we just thank you. We 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 thank you. Glory to your name. Father, we just give you praise. Can we just lift our hands for a moment? Father, we just glorify you. We thank you. We praise you. Father, we thank you that we were created. We're your workmanship. We're your workmanship. Man, we may not feel like it. We may not act like it sometimes. But Father, we thank you. We're your workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's the way you see us. That's who you called us to be. That's the way you see us. Say, I am his workmanship.
I am his workmanship.
I am his workmanship.
I am created in Christ Jesus
unto good works.
Unto good works.
Father, we thank you that we are your workmanship. Father, we accept the call. We accept the call right now. You just need to make a decision in your heart to say yes to God. Yes to God. Does that mean I'm requiring you to be here on Wednesday night? No, you do what God has placed in your heart. You hear the voice of God for yourself. You know, we have more people now watching by live stream than ever before, and that may be the way that you connect it. I use these as examples only to say, what is your commitment to living life in the kingdom? How is that reflected in your priorities? See, you can live life your own way, and you can live life okay your own way. But there's so much more that the Lord has for each and every one of us. That we live life out of the kingdom, out of his calling, out of his purpose. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And that's going to require you to step out of your boat of comfort. That's we're going to require you to make some decisions. Men of God, listen to me. You're going to have to make some decisions for your household. And stop asking your children's opinion about where they want to go to church or what they want to do. And stop trying to run your household like it's a democracy. And hear from God. You and your wife are heirs together of the grace of God. And you have the ability to hear his voice. Now stand up and say yes to God. Yes, Lord, I submit to you. Yes, Lord, I'll humble myself. Yes, Lord, I'll lay my own ambitions aside and I will go after your ambition for my life. Yes, Lord, I will connect with the body. Yes, Lord, I recognize that I got the goods. Not because it's me, but it's Jesus in me that's provided all things that I need for life and godliness. Yes, Lord. No to the excuses. No to the things that have kept me from my destiny. Yes to you, Father, who is my destiny. Yes to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You are mature sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's who you are. The Spirit of God says, now act like it. Act like it. Walk like it. Yeah, but what if I try and I fail? You can't fail at being yourself. Let me say, you cannot fail at being yourself, at being who God created you to be. I have a certain personality. I can't fail at expressing that personality. You cannot fail. You are something God's created you to be. You can't fail at being that.
Amen.
Amen. See? See, you see the thoughts that try to come in? You know, God's working on me. I might fail. I'm going to... And you're looking at yourself again. You're created in Christ Jesus. Look at Him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. So, Father, we receive it now in Jesus' name. Now, starting next week, I'm going to start teaching you how to communicate this gospel to other people. Okay? I'm going to start teaching you these things. Okay? Give me a microphone. John has something to say real quick here. You got the goods, so now you're going to have the toolkit to go out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I have poured myself out, not in part, not in parcel, not in portion. I have poured all of myself into you, nothing held back, nothing left in reserve. You are complete in me. I flow through my children, tell them to flow. My work in you is a finished work. However, my work through you is ongoing. You already go with me, so flow with me. Position me knowing I am positioned in you. This is fulfillment. We are one, and you are never alone.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Amen.